Welcome, everybody. My name is Anita Petit-Law, and I am the owner of Dare Dreamers and Power of My Way and co-founder of Self Management Coaching, which is actually based in Toronto. So those two Toronto people, where I go there every few weeks. Tonight, I am so excited to have everyone join us for the second in the Five Who Thrive series. And I'm really, after last night, I'm feeling even more honored to be interviewing these five amazing individuals who really have been truly inspirational to me. Last night, of course, we had Alexandria Brown. Tonight, we are with Joe Vitale. And we have Paula Languth-Ryan, Tom Heck, and Rob Levitt all joining us over the next few weeks. They have all been incredibly inspirational to me, have really fueled my dreams, and have impacted how I do business, how I think about doing business and living my life, and really are true examples of abundant and innovative thinkers. So tonight's interview with Joe Vitale, let me tell you a little bit about Joe. He is the author of the new best-selling book, The Attractor Factor, Five Easy Steps to Creating Wealth or Anything Else from the Inside Out. He is also president of Hypnotic Marketing, a marketing consulting firm. And Joe, you've actually been called the Buddha of the Internet.
Well, I used to be called that. I've lost about 70 pounds in the last 8 months, so now the Buddha belly is gone, and they call me the Charles Atlas of the Internet.
Oh, so that's least, a much sexier.
Yeah, they're still calling me nice names, so we're still fine.
Well, now, Buddha really came to be not just because of the belly, right?
No, that's right. I'm joking about that. It was kind of a spiritual nod is what that was. It was just a nod in the direction of me having a spiritual bent to me, which for the longest time I didn't really even talk about. But now, of course, with the attractor factor being out there in such a big way, people are paying attention to that, and I'm much more open about the what we'll call the metaphysical side of life, which, of course, fascinates me. So the Buddha of the Internet is a nod in that direction.
Nice. Well, and you are also an ordained minister.
Yes.
A certified metaphysical practitioner, a hypnotherapist, and you are a Qigong healer. Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, you must have done your research. Most people who introduce me don't go that deep.
Well,
so
you know.
I'm flattered.
Well, I'll tell you, with some of the direction that we're going in Power of My Way, and a lot of the callers tonight are unitics, as we affectionately call ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And so we find ourselves really walking, you know, in two worlds, the spiritual world and the human world, and really working on integrating that.
Wow, I'm even more excited to be here now. I'm in the right place with the right crowd.
Yeah, so I would provide you with an open invitation to share that aspect of who you are. I think that that really is what captured me in the attractor factor. So I could go on and talk about your impressive client list, but my guess is everybody would much rather us get into the meat of what you have to offer tonight. For that information, I would recommend everybody visit www.attractorfactor.com and or www.mrfire.com, which is your other nickname, Mr. Fire.
Yeah.
And you can learn more about these past achievements and all of the amazing best-selling ebooks and projects that Joe has been a part of over the years. For tonight, Joe's going to share with us some of the secrets behind the attractor factor, and most importantly, some of the real-life stories of people who have been touched by really what is being touted right now as the modern-day Think and Grow Rich. Have you read that? Have you read that quote, Joe?
I have heard it, and I am blushing and not quite sure how to respond. Boy, the Napoleon Hill Think and Grow Rich classic, how can I be compared to that? Or not me, but how could even the book be compared to that? It seems so, wow, such a wild, impossible-to-live-up-to type claim. So, yeah, I'm hearing it, and I'm still wrestling with it. I'm delighted, I'm flattered, and again, I just am trying to take all that in.
Well, and I have to tell you, I was blessed to receive your book a few weeks before its release.
Ah, you got one of the secret early books.
I did. I got a secret early book from from Suzanne.
Oh, okay.
And when I started to read it, I honestly could not put it down. Now, interestingly enough, when it got to the point where I was to write down everything I wanted, I sort of froze up for 2 days.
Oh, really?
I really did, and I was aware of it. However, I had an interesting chain of events put me in a place where I actually did complete that work. And I can honestly attest to the power of applying these steps into my own creative dreams. I have really attracted some amazing new partnerships with Eileen Cole, who you heard introduce herself.
Yeah.
A gentleman named Jim Carroll, my new executive mastermind group. I have 34 new clients, a free health club membership, and just so much more. So,
all from reading the book?
The principles and really, really consciously applying those principles in both my life and business. So I want to thank you not only for taking the time to really create this and share it with a much larger audience, but to join us tonight.
Well, thank you on all accounts, and thank you for telling me your first-person story. I had no idea that you had gotten an early book and did all of the writing it down and wrote to your wants and had so many things happen so quickly. So that's so nice to hear.
Yeah,
thank you.
Very quickly, and within 2 days had ordered 3 more to give away. So.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. So I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think I mentioned this, but your book actually bumped Harry Potter out of first place, the first book ever since Harry Potter came out. Is that correct?
Yes, it is correct. Boy, you talk about a life-changing moment and a mind-frying experience. I knew that The Attractor Factor would do pretty well because I was going to do a lot of marketing for it,
mm-hmm.
and I knew that my list had been waiting for my unannounced new book. I had been telling them for months, I mean literally for months, that I was coming out with a book in April, that they were all going to love it, but I never told them the title, I never told them what it was, so I was really cruel, and I had them drooling, waiting for this book.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that when I announced the book and put all the word out about it and so forth, that they would go and buy it. I did not know how quickly it would sell. That morning on April 5th, when I pulled the trigger on the promotion, by noon, I was doing an interview live with Alex Mandozian,
mm-hmm.
and we were watching the stats at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. By noon, my book was number 2.
That's
which
amazing.
Stunned me. It stunned me. I was, you know, elated. The Pope had died. There were 5 books about the Pope on the bestseller list. Jack Welch was spending millions of dollars to promote his book.
Oh, yeah.
And here's this bald ex-Buddha of the Internet sitting at his computer and sending out emails telling people that my book is out, and the book goes to number 2. The next morning, I got a call from my publisher, who is John Wiley up in New York, and the senior editor called to say, your book just bumped Harry Potter out
That's
of the number
amazing.
1 spot. And it was like, I had no idea that could happen.
That's amazing.
It was so amazing.
So,
and, of course, it did it again a few days later. It went to number 1 again, bouncing Harry Potter out of the number 1 slot for a couple days at that point. The book has not dropped out of the top 200. Jack Canfield promoted the book this morning, and right now at Barnes & Noble, I think it's number 16,
awesome.
And at Amazon, it's around number 70, 76, something like that. But yes, it did bump Harry Potter. To my own amazement, my magic beat that fictional magic.
And so I have to ask you a personal question before actually getting into telling us a little bit about The Attractor Factor.
Mm-hmm.
How has life changed for you since April 5th?
Great question. It has taken on a warp speed. The phone calls, the emails, the media requests, the activity, the buzz that's around this is more than I could keep up with.
Okay.
And I mean that literally, because you know that I have at least one assistant, because Suzanne had
mm-hmm.
sent you the book early on. I have hired her almost full-time to keep me, you know, to keep me safe from everything that's happening.
Right.
My publisher called me the day after the book hit number 1, and they called me and they asked me this truly bizarre question. They said, is there any way to stop the marketing?
Really?
And now this tells you how life has changed, because I worked so hard to do my marketing, and life changed even for the publisher. Because most publishers don't know how to market books. They know how to print books and publish books and get books in bookstores.
Sure.
And they live or die on their own. That's about it that publishers know how to do. This book sold out within 24 hours. And I was starting to get emails from people who were complaining that they were trying to get the book and could not get it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had built up the interest in the book to a feverish pitch. So they now wanted it, and it was no longer available. And the publisher told me, is there any way to turn off the marketing? And I laughed and said, boy, you people have forgotten what it's like to be an entrepreneur. We don't turn off the marketing ever. And if you run out of books, it's like Doritos. You go make more. So life has changed on a number of levels. I had to step into my own power when talking to corporate America. In the past, when a publisher like that would have called me, I might have been intimidated.
Sure.
Now it's more like, no, I'm creating the circumstances here. You have to keep up or get off the train.
Awesome.
And in the personal life, I've had to deal with the phone calls and the emails and the media requests and pick and choose which ones I'm going to do. So life has just taken on a very a quickening, I guess is what I'll use as the word. It's a quickening. Much more is happening and all at once. Wiley, the publisher, has published another book by me. I'll be doing a promotion on it on June 7th. And during all of this, they came to me with a third book idea, their own idea, asked me if I would write it. I liked the idea and said yes. And then the negotiating for it, again, was different because they basically said, what do you want to write this book?
And this book was not easy to get picked up by a publishing house, was it?
The attractor factor?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's had its own lifespan and its own evolution. It began as a little booklet that I only wrote for one person, my sister. She's up in Ohio. I'm very close to her, but I don't see her very often. And I tell the story in The Attractor Factor, but long story short, she was on welfare. She was raising three kids. Her husband was out of work. She was out of work. She was very depressed. And I thought, if she only knew some of the prosperity principles I knew, if she only knew some of the things I had discovered along the way, because at one point I had been homeless and I had struggled and I wasn't on welfare, but I had certainly been on unemployment and certainly going through dark periods of the soul, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote this little booklet to tell her these principles. And after she read it and she ended up getting off welfare, getting a car, getting a job, she's got two kids in college now, she's doing profoundly better, she just came to visit from Ohio a week ago, I thought, well, I'll slowly give this book out to the world. And I slowly started to give it to people whenever I felt the moment was right and the person was right, I would share it. But the very first edition of the book ended up being a print-on-demand book, a self-published print-on-demand book.
Right.
So I don't want to spend all the time telling the whole story there, but the quick answer here is the book did not have an overnight birth. It took a lot of time and a lot of evolution and had its own reincarnation in order to become The Attractor Factor, what it is today.
Well, and one of the things that really struck me, especially when you shared the story of your sister, is that this truly was a labor of love.
Absolutely.
And that was so apparent in every story and in every illustration of the steps that you share in that book. So I thank you for really putting your heart out there in your soul and spirit, as well as your business and marketing acumen. I think it's an incredible marriage of all of those talents and qualities.
Well, thank you for acknowledging all of that, because it's important to realize that I did not want to publish the book originally because of fear. I was afraid that people would make fun of me.
Mm-hmm.
I was afraid that I have an audio tape set, a CD recording with Nightingale Conant, a very famous, very conservative company. It's called The Power of Outrageous Marketing. And I thought, what will they think if I come out with a book on the spirituality of money, for example, this whole attractor factor process? What will they think? I have two books with the American Marketing Association and the American Management Association. What would they think if I came out with this book, this little thing that I've written for my sister? So I sat on the thing for the longest time because of fear. And this is an important insight. Because one of the things I've learned, and I tell it to everybody that'll listen, is that most of the wealth that you want is probably going to come from that area of your life that you're afraid of.
Yeah. Can you say that again? Because I think that is such an important thing for people to hear.
Well, we might need to get the copywriter on the line to rewrite what I just said, because I don't know that I said it well enough. But what I was suggesting is that dark side of you that you love but are keeping from the public is probably where your wealth is. Much like I wrote this little booklet, which became The Attractor Factor, for my sister Bonnie. but I was in deep fear of sharing it with the world.
Mm-hmm.
Once I came out of my shell, out of my closet, so to speak, started to share it, it has become the most beloved work that I have ever written. And at this point, mm-hmm. I have written maybe 30-some books, counting my e-books and published books and print-on-demand books and self-published books, traditional books. All of them put together is a big bushel of books. But the one that people love, that moves them, that touches them, which, of course, sells out to the extent that it beats Harry Potter, is The Attractor Factor, the very book I was afraid to release.
So can you tell the listeners a little bit about what The Attractor Factor is?
Well, the subtitle says it's 5 easy steps for creating wealth or anything else from the inside out. And what I've tried to do here is hone in on the 5 crucial steps that'll make a difference in people's lives by looking within themselves to create the outer world around them. Now, most of your listeners will understand what I'm talking about here,
mm-hmm.
but if I was talking to the average person on an AM radio show, they would be pulling their hair out and thinking I was crazy. But what I'm saying here is that everything that you see around you, everything, if you're looking at your computer, your walls, your car, your kids, your dog, whatever you're looking at right now, everything that's around you, you created from the inside of you.
Absolutely.
And if you want to change some of the things that are on the outside that you're looking at, you don't fiddle with the things you're looking at. You fiddle with the inside of you. This is the attractor factor. It's all about changing what I'll call your magnetic vibration, which is a combination of your thoughts and your beliefs mm-hmm. and your feelings. That essence of everything inside of you is sending out a signal that is magnetically attracting what you then see in your life.
Whether it be good or bad.
And it could be good or bad, yes. It
right.
could be. It's all of that. And one of the things I really stressed in The Attractor Factor that I've never stressed in any other book is the idea of taking complete responsibility for all of it, the good as well as the bad. Looking at every aspect and realizing that you are sitting in the middle of a creation, and you are the creator. That's a biggie
that's,
for everybody.
And that's a hard one for people to swallow.
Oh, well, you just those were the exact words I was going to say. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to stop from time to time and remind myself of that. If there's something that takes place and I didn't really like it, I got to take a breath, look within myself and say, okay, what might I have done within myself? What did I think? What did I generate within myself that would have pulled this into my life experience? And this is an empowering thought, because as soon as you realize I created all of this that's around me, you realize I can create it to be how I would prefer it to be.
A long time ago, I heard a quote that, and I don't remember who said it, but that we don't find ourselves in any situation where we have not given ourselves permission to be there.
Yes, I don't know that quote, but I would agree with it, yeah. It is all about the attractor factor, and you are the person that's practicing the attraction law, and it's stemming from inside you. Most of this is happening on an unconscious level, but I don't want to get Freudian on people because I don't think Freud was absolutely right. In fact, I'm writing an article that says Freud was wrong.
That'll sell.
because the unconscious is not this dark, spooky place. The unconscious happens to be a little deeper than the conscious mind, and that's where the wiring is all set up, and the wiring is our belief system. But as soon as you shine a light on it, you can start seeing where the wiring is working.
Yeah.
When I give some of my talks, I'll often tell people, I'm about to ask you a question, and the only way you can answer is to pull it from your unconscious. Because right now, the answer to this question is not in your conscious mind. It's not, you're not thinking about
mm-hmm.
it. You're thinking about what I'm talking about right
mm-hmm.
now, or you're thinking about your food or what you're going to do after this conversation. But the answer to this question, because you don't even know the question, is in your unconscious. And then I'll say, what is your phone number? Or what is your mobile phone number? Or if you want to go deeper, what was the phone number to the house when you were a kid and you grew up?
Mm-hmm.
Many of us can remember that. And so what you find is that these things are not very deep. These things meaning the beliefs, the thoughts, the operating system that's within all of us that's causing the attracting formula to be working for you, the attractor factor to be kicking into gear. None of that is in this black hole in a vault under the earth that's buried under 6 feet of dirt that you have to dig through to get to, and there's ghosts and goblins all along the way. That's not the case.
Yeah, well, and really, every behavior and every thought is connected to some underlying belief or sets of beliefs.
That's absolutely the case. Absolutely. I just read a book the other day called The Biology of Belief. The Biology of Belief. And it's by a biochemist who was pointing out that beliefs were operating every cell in a person's body. And he had this startling statistic in there. It was a story. We all know about the placebo effect, and that's usually when somebody is given a sugar pill but led to believe it's a pill that's going to heal them of something. Very often, that sugar pill will cause them to be healed of whatever they're trying to heal because they thought the pill was working, but mm-hmm. it was a placebo. What really worked was their belief in it. Well, this biochemist said that there was a test done at one point, and 3 knee surgeries were done. Now, these were knee surgeries. These were not just taking a pill to get rid of a headache. These were people who had trouble walking and were diagnosed in need of having a surgery. Well, 2 people got a real surgery. The 3rd one got a placebo surgery, meaning they opened up the knee, they acted like they did a, you know, a typical surgery for them, they sewed it back up, went through all the procedure that any real surgery would go through. Well, the person who got the placebo surgery did just as well as the people who got the real surgery. In fact, they didn't tell the patient until 2 years later that you didn't really have knee surgery. And by then he was running, playing basketball, riding a bike, and doing everything that anybody would have done. It was the power of belief. I say we are in a belief-driven universe. And those stories from biology, or those stories from psychology, they all prove it. Beliefs are what the operating system is in our lives.
So maybe knowledge is not power, belief is power. And understanding what those beliefs are that really are driving our behaviors and our choices and what we're manifesting in our life. That's
well, I think it's all a matter of discovering what the beliefs are that operate us. And I think in the attractor factor, when I say there's 5 steps for creating wealth or fill in the blank, whatever that you're trying to pull into your life, the missing step is 3. And I call it the missing secret because I think this is the mm-hmm. step that's missing from almost all the self-help books and the personal development programs out there. Now, it's not missing from every one of them. I don't want to make a sweeping generalization here. But for the most part, you won't find this missing step. And this is the step that I call getting clear. It's the step that causes you to look within yourself, find the beliefs that are the operating beliefs that keep you from going higher than a certain income or getting lower than a certain weight or finding the perfect match or always having a reoccurring problem. That's a real clue. If you look at your life and you find out that you always have this particular problem, that's a real clue that a operating set of beliefs are working and you want to take a look at those, you can dismantle them. The missing secret is getting clear.
And so when you talk to people about getting clear, how can people gain that clarity?
Yeah, that's a big one. Well, I give a variety of processes in the book, and one of my favorites stems back from 30 years ago when I studied with the Option Institute, and I studied with Barry Neil Kaufman and his wife, Susie Kaufman. They've written a variety of books. They're known for helping people cure their children of autism. One of their favorite books, still in print, is called To Love is to be Happy With. To Love is to be Happy With. And they teach a gentle, loving, questioning process. And what they do is encourage you to look at your beliefs. And you can simply ask yourself what the belief is. For example, if you just had a car accident, and I'm just making up something, I don't know what it might be for somebody listening, but we'll just come up with a vivid example. If you just had a car accident, and you're upset about it, you might pause, take a breath, and say, what do I believe this means to me?
Mm-hmm.
And a thought may come to you, well, a thought will come to you, but an example of a thought that might come to you could be, bad things always happen to me. Or it could be something like, things were going really well, so I knew something was gonna happen. You know,
can't last too long, right?
Yes, yeah, well, those are all beliefs.
Right.
You know, those are all beliefs. When they come up, You acknowledge them in a detached, loving way, if at all possible, and you ask yourself the next question, do I believe that? because you may get a no. No, I don't believe that these things always have to happen, or it was getting too good, and so I knew something bad would happen. If that's the case, great. That belief's probably wispy and is just leaving. But if you say, yes, yes, I do believe that bad things will happen if things go for too long being too good, then you can say, why do I believe that? And what you're doing is being a detective, looking for the root cause of the belief. And as you're doing the rooting around here in this very loving, easy, gentle way, you are dismantling the wiring system so that that belief is no longer active. You'll actually get to the point where you'll find a belief that you think is true and you've analyzed where it may have come from. And then you can say, okay, I don't think this belief serves me. Do I want to continue believing it, or do I want to let it go? So it's a very easy process, and it's one of my favorite ones to do. I do explain it in The Attractor Factor, or just go to Barry Neil Kaufman's book, To Love Is to Be Happy With, and the whole book explains that whole questioning process. But that's a beautiful, easy thing that you can do on your own. And, of course, I have no problem with asking for help. I have several healers, mentors, coaches, counselors listed in the back of The Attractor Factor that I have used over the years. And, of course, some of the stories in the book talk about some of the people I've worked with. My rule of thumb is whenever I feel that I'm not clear, I have to stop and get clear almost immediately. And what that means is if I get frustrated because I didn't get a phone call or angry because something didn't happen or whatever it might be, I can't think of something right at the moment, then I have to pause and see if I can dismantle it myself. If for some reason I can't, it's persisting. And very often it is hard to do it because we're in our own belief creation, so sometimes it's hard to see what the beliefs are that created what we're looking at. Then I know, reach over to the phone, pick it up, and call one of the people I've worked with in the back, or one of the people that are listed in the back of The Attractor Factor. And I call them up and I say, look, I need your help. I need to get clear. Let's do it. But as long as, and this is another big tip, this is the way I live my life, as long as I can stay clear, the magic and miracles keep happening to such an extent that I am dazzled by them, just like the morning of beating Harry Potter. That was a dazzling experience.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't come from me trying to manipulate the world and orchestrate the world to work to my behalf. It did not come from an ego trip. It came from Joe letting go to the process and trusting things were going to work out. That came more as a gift than as something that I created.
So is it safe to say that when the magic and miracles stop happening, that's a good opportunity for you to do some clarity work?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, my first response is the magic and miracles never stop.
Good, yeah.
The magic and miracles never stop. Because
we may just not
fact,
see them.
Yeah, you're creating all the time. And I think that's magic and that's a miracle in itself. I also believe that we don't usually take time to appreciate what we have around us.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that means somebody's listening and all they have is the phone in their arm and they don't have a TV and maybe they have a refrigerator that holds a six-pack of Coke and they don't have a car and, you know, they got a little apartment, some pad somewhere, and they're taking the bus to wherever they go. Even that person, and there could be worse situations that I can describe, but even that person is living better than people in third-world countries. And even that person is probably living better than kings and queens from past centuries who lived in fear most of their lives. So I think that we have to appreciate and recognize and feel grateful for all that we already have, because it is a miracle and it is magical.
And so to really stay aware. And yet it's interesting because so many of our clients, whether it's the work we're doing with an entire organization, a team, or an individual, are fundamentally not satisfied with their lives or businesses. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think the first thing is they're not taking time to smell the roses because, as I just painted, if they look around and compare themselves to people living in some very terrible situations, they are living like kings and queens.
Mm-hmm.
They are living to the most royal extent and probably better than many of the people in past generations from their own lives. They're not taking the time to appreciate that. And that's a shame because it is the reality. If they do look around and they see they have whatever they have, they're probably doing better than many of the people in their own genetic history. And they're probably doing better now than they had been in their past life. Because most of us have this upward trend. We're always doing better. If you look at your life right now and you compare it to where you were 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you can probably say that it is better. Mm-hmm. Now, how much better, I don't know. But we tend to have this upward climb in life without doing too much to have it happen.
So is one key here to really, I guess, working from the inside out, focusing on what we do have versus what we don't have?
Well, let me tell you, I think I wrote this book and I give 5 steps, but I think we only need 1 step.
Will you share that with us?
Well, I think real key to living this magnificent life and attracting the things we want into our life
is
grateful for each moment that we already have. Because all of the power is in the moment, all of the magic is in the moment, all of the miracles are in the moment. Most of us leave the moment because we think some other past moment was better than this one. Or we're stretching and we're looking forward to the better moment that's going to come down the road, and we're completely oblivious to this moment, and this moment is the magic. If we can be in this moment and appreciate this moment, we tend to go out and create more moments that are as good or profoundly better than this moment.
Well, it's that magnetic attraction. It's that energy that you're putting out because of the fact that you really are in a place of gratitude and awareness and being present for this moment.
Well, there's a rule of thumb in psychology that says you get more of whatever you focus on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start focusing on lack and limitation, or if you start focusing on your anger or your frustration or your impatience, the very law says you will get more of it.
And so what?
If you focus on the good that you're grateful for in this moment, and good, bad's all perspective anyway, if you look at the good that's right there in this moment right now and you really appreciate the good stuff, you appreciate this phone call, you appreciate you setting it up, you appreciate being able to have a phone to listen to this, you appreciate everything that's around this moment, then you get more wonderful moments as good and usually many times better than this one because your vibe is changed to attract wonderful moments.
And so what would you say to the person who feels that they're attracting undesirable things or situations into their life? What would be your advice to them?
Well, I have to kind of take their pulse and see where they're at in open-mindedness. Because a lot of people, not the people on this call, but the vast majority of the world out there is in that step one, the complaining stage,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's blaming. And blaming usually feels good until you wake up and you realize that it's powerless. But blaming feels good when you're in that step one, blaming and pointing your finger at the world mm-hmm. and saying, it's because of the president, it's because of the economy, it's because of the terrorists, it's because of my clients, it's because of the weather, it's because of... you know, blah, blah, blah. They have to realize, again, as we began this call even talking about, that all of the power is coming from them and mm-hmm. that they're sitting in the middle of a creation. And that's tough to accept, so that's why I'm not quite sure how I would handle it. It would be on a per-person basis. If somebody came to me and they had read The Attractor Factor and said, look, I keep making $2,000 a month, and I really would want to make $50,000 a month or $5,000 or whatever the number would be. How do I get past that? Then I'd have something to work with. They read The Attractor Factor. They're trying to take responsibility, but they're hitting a ceiling, and because they are in their own belief creation, it's very difficult for them to see how to unravel it. That person, I would probably say, okay, first of all, realize you're doing great by making the $2,000 a month or whatever the amount is. If you want to make more, let's look at what you might believe about that when you start to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would start doing is trying to shine a light and unravel that software in the mind that's creating the amount of money they're getting to allow them to make more. So I would start to go in that direction.
Okay. Well, what about the people that are on the phone who I think we've sold out tonight? There may have been some people that weren't able to make it on the call, which is quite exciting.
Oh, I hope you recorded it for them.
We are recording it. We are recording it. Oh, and I should have announced that first, huh? Yes, we are recording it. But I'm wondering, what wisdom would you share with our callers about how they can take the first step around creating the life and business of their dreams and really attracting that?
Well, the fortunate thing about tonight's call is I've done so many interviews over the last few weeks, ever since April 5th and the Attractor Factor coming out, that I've been polishing my answers.
Ooh. Then we are quite fortunate.
So I think I can give a better answer now than I might have on April 5th, but we'll see. Again, we have a copywriter online who can rewrite anything I'm saying. So let's see what we can do here. Well, I've been reading a lot of Neville. Neville Goddard wrote a lot of books in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. He died in 72. He was this author who wrote books like Immortal Man and Resurrection, and he focused on the idea of imagining the end result of what you want with feeling as if it had already happened. Now, this is really important. This is step four in the Attractor Factor process. I call it Nevilleize your goal. The whole point of this, and again, this is another one-step operation, even though it's step four in the Attractor Factor, if you do this one step, you can create, by God, miracles in your life. And I mean by God literally here. So what you would do is, say you want to attract a new car. Say you want to attract a certain amount of money per month in your life. Say you want to attract a new home. Say you want to attract a particular state of wealth or state of health. You pick whatever it happens to be. So
Joe.
Yes.
Let me interrupt real quick because at the beginning of the call, I asked everybody to think about one thing that they wanted to create.
Oh, good.
So can we give everybody just 5 seconds to sort of wrap their head and their heart and their soul around that image?
Okay.
And really imagine the end result as if it had already happened. And then...
Let me actually do better. Let me walk them through that.
Okay.
Here's what I want you to do. I'll use the car example because that's the easiest one for me to visualize at the moment. Right now I'm doing a teleseminar series over the last few weeks called How to Attract a New Car into Your Life. So we've been doing a lot of this, and I just did a call last night on this whole subject. So if you want a new car, and again, if you want something else, you can follow along with what I'm describing here. Imagine that car the exact way you want it. The exact make, the exact model, the exact color, the exact year. Make it vivid for you. Then imagine that you look down and you're holding the car keys in your hand. You can feel them in your hand. Most of them are black, so it's probably the color black. It may have the model of the car on the car key. You can look down and see that, but you can feel the little rough edge of the key there. You can feel a little button that's on it. It probably pushes the remote control to open up the car door and so forth. So you feel that in your hand. Then you go out to your garage or your driveway, whatever it is for you. This is your visualization. But you are holding the car key. You are walking to the car. You are about to touch the car. As you get to the car, you push the car key. It opens up. You open the door. You get inside. You start to smell the new car leather. Mm. You look around inside as you close the door, and you have the tinted windows if that's what you wanted. You've got the convertible if that's what you wanted. This is your car. You're in this car. You can feel it. You are sitting in it. You are leaning against the leather. You have your feet there on the brake by the gas pedal. You reach over with the key to put it in the ignition. You feel it go in. You start to turn it. You feel the roar of the engine as it starts up. Everything's operating. Maybe you turn on the AC or the heat, depending on where you're at. Maybe you turn on the music to your favorite station or it's your favorite CD. You're taking a moment. This is happening right now. You own the car. You own the key. You're in it. You feel it. You breathe it. You touch it. You are singing inside of it. It feels so good. You put it in the ignition, and then you can go for a ride. You can go around the block. You can go for a long journey, whatever it happens to be. Get into the completed imagery, feeling, experience of having it right now. enjoy it for a few seconds, and then let it go.
And so anybody can take what they've written down as their top desire and,
yeah.
and really go through this visualization process, really feeling it, smelling it, touching it. What would it,
yeah.
what would it
the
look
bank account,
like?
You know, what would it look like to open up your checkbook? You have your checkbook in your hand. You can feel it. You can see it. You look down. You see the little ledger there, and you look over to the far right, and there's the amount of money that you were visualizing, and you smile because it says, you think to yourself, that was easy. That feels fantastic, and you start to think of the good things you might do with the money, and you start to go in the direction of, well, maybe I can help my mother. Maybe I can go on a vacation. Maybe I can buy this. Maybe I can pay off that. But you get into the experience of having it now. This was Neville's great contribution. As a hypnotist and as a fairly well-read author in the self-help area, I know that a lot of people have talked about imagery, and imagery does work. It takes you in the direction of what you want. It's part of the attractor factor. But if you want to accelerate the process, if you want to manifest miracles, you don't just image something. You are in the image, and you are feeling it kinesthetically, and you are feeling it as if it's already happening right now. In this moment.
And believing it.
Absolutely. There should be nothing, there should be no doubt in your mind because you painted the picture for this to happen. The only thing, this is the only thing that comes up for a lot of people as a type of trouble spot, is they immediately think, how? How am I going to do this? How am I going to get the car? How am I going to get the money? How am I going to find the house? How am I going to find the spouse? How am I going to find the client? And your job is to forget about how.
How?
Forget how. How comes from the ego. That's your ego and its limited view of the world trying to guess what would be the best way for you to create the thing that you're trying to go for. Ego does not know how to make it happen. The universe, the wider picture, spirit, whatever you want to call this whole energy field that we're all in, part of, and on, whatever that is, whether it's God or life or Tao or whatever that word is that resonates for you, that will take you to the in the direction of manifesting what you want. Your job, I call it the attractor factor, I say it's take inspired action. That means pay attention to your intuition and act on the hunches and act on the opportunities that come your way. You never know which one is going to take you to the manifestation of that car or to the job or to the health or to the spouse or to the paycheck. You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah, I was asked a question earlier this week in a group of CEOs that I belong to where, basically it was just asked, how do you do this? How do you create these partnerships and this success? And I said, you know what? I follow my intuition.
Yeah.
And I don't listen to the doubters. I've sort of wiped out some doubters from my life over the last couple of years, too.
Well, that's an interesting point because I have noticed the same thing. I never intentionally wiped anybody out, but as I move through my life and I keep changing my vibe and it gets higher and higher and my success rate gets higher and higher, they fall away.
That's true. What do you think that's about?
I don't think their vibe was a match to mine, so they just fall. They go, they still circulate in the area of their attractor factor. They're still on a vibe that's a match to somebody else, and they go in that direction. As my vibe changes and I go up, I'm trying to explain this in the best way I know how.
No, it makes sense.
As I'm going in one direction, they're still going in another direction. There isn't a match. They simply fall away. There aren't any hard feelings. I can't think of a time where I called somebody up and say, hey, my vibe's higher than yours, so don't come over. That never took place. It was more of a intuitive type thing. They quit calling. I quit calling. They dropped away. I went in my direction. You know, who knows what it looks like to them if you got them on the phone and said, hey, you used to be a friend of Joe's 10 years ago. What happened? They would just say something like, well, we just moved in different circles.
What would you say to the person who is having a hard time changing their vibe?
Well, I would say that I don't know that you intentionally go inside and change a vibe as if it's a dial. Maybe there is something to that. But for me, what works better is to get into this whole, wouldn't it be fun feeling to have a car? Wouldn't it be fun feeling to have a book be a bestseller? wouldn't it be fun feeling to have the publisher come and offer me a big paycheck for another book from them?
Yes, it would.
And that's how I changed the vibe.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, right there.
So really,
getting into this playful feeling of what would it be like? What would it be like? What would it be like?
And really exploring your imagination and engaging in that creative imagery
playing with possibilities.
Yeah.
And there's another, it's important that I say this, because it'll feel incomplete if I don't. It's important to go for what you want, and it's important to not need it. This is like a fundamental truth of the universe that's a paradox and very hard to get when you first look at it. Years ago, I learned that I can have virtually anything I want as long as I don't really want it.
And can you give an example?
That would just fry me. Well, let me explain something first. Because a better way of explaining it is you can have anything you want as long as you don't need it.
Okay, because I see those as different.
And what this is about, are you still there?
Yes, I moved my my mic.
Okay.
I was going to say, I see those as different, the wanting and the needing.
Yeah, wanting and needing are different. And it's a very important distinction, though. The wanting is coming from this playful possibility place, like you saw a car, you saw a coat, you saw a dress, you saw a house, and you say to yourself, wow, it'd be really great to have that suit. It would be really great to live here in San Francisco on the Bay. It would be really great to have a castle of my own in Rome, Italy. It would be really great, too. But there's no desperation on it. People make the mistake when they say, I really want to have $5,000 more a month, and I've got to have it because I won't be able to pay my bills, and I won't be able to buy this thing that I want, and I won't be able to get this car, and I won't be able to make my car payment. If they come from that mindset, they will probably not create $5,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Because this goes back to the whole energy philosophy. If they are coming from a sense of desperation, yes, it would be great to have this car, and I must have this car, the energy they're sending out is this need, and that need just creates more need.
Well, and people really feel that, too.
Oh, and other people feel that, yes.
Yeah.
I've noticed long ago that I don't want to work with people who have a desperate feel to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember talking to a lot of people that own big companies who said if somebody walks in and they desperately need a job, they don't hire them.
Mm-hmm.
They want to walk in. They want somebody to walk in that's calm and confident and says, yes, I could use the work, and I'd be glad to do it. But they're not desperate for it. That desperate feeling goes out and creates more desperate feelings. It creates scenarios in life that'll be desperate feeling scenario. So you can want it, but you can't need it.
Now, Joe, what about the people that, and I bet you some of us on the call can relate to this, where to think about wealth or material items doesn't feel holy or spiritual.
Yeah, that's a good one to look at. Well, that's an old belief, obviously, that was programmed in the culture a long, long time ago. Because here's what I found out about success and wealth and monetary goods. The more that comes to me, the more I can help others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mentioned that 30-some years ago, I was homeless, and I went through a struggle period and near poverty and so forth in Houston. During all those times, I can barely feed myself, let alone anybody else. These days, not only am I feeding myself and my loved ones and anybody else that's near me, but I'm also making contributions to causes I believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I've helped start foundations to help causes that nobody else was addressing that I was aware of. I've been able to help causes to help cure cancer or at least look for the cure and so forth. I have been able to help myself and help others. I mentioned that my sister came down to visit a week or so ago. I paid for her to come visit. I paid for the flight. I paid for her husband. I took care of everything while they were here. I was able to do that because of success.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only time that this becomes a problem, and I mention it in the attractor factor, is when people are coming from this greed, and greed to me is when you want something and you don't want anybody else to have it. But if you want something and you would love everybody else also to have it, that's one of the most spiritual experiences I could describe.
Yeah. You know,
so wealth to me enables you to take care of yourself and you to help other people as well. money is as neutral as you can get.
Yeah, I always
it's
say
our beliefs about it that cause the problem.
Absolutely, I always say the reason I want to become filthy rich is so I can afford to work with people who can't afford to work with me.
Oh, that's good.
You know, because I love doing pro bono work, and yet the simple fact of the matter is we've got to put food on the table and pay the mortgage. But that level of prosperity, it really does open us up to being able to do all sorts of things.
I don't know what the term filthy rich means to you. To me, I can't even imagine it, so I wouldn't be using it. But I would be, I think I jokingly in the Attractor Factor say something like I wanted to be the world's first...
Trillionaire.
Because I know that there's trillions of dollars floating around, and nobody, there's a few billionaires out there, of course, quite a few billionaires, but no trillionaires yet. And I thought, well, wouldn't it be cool if I was a trillionaire? Imagine how much good I can do in the world with that kind of available funding.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Now, I have another question. One of the illustrations, well, many of the illustrations in your book, but you talked about a study that Shkreli Blatnik, and I love the name that he did. And with many of our coaching clients, when they're fundamentally just not satisfied with how things are going, oftentimes we find that it's because they're not really living their passion. They're not being authentic to who they are. Can you talk a little bit about what you found when you researched that topic?
Oh, boy. It all comes down to money likes passion. Money is attracted to passion. It's a very much an energy type thing. It's the Attractor Factor at work. I heard an interview with a famous psychologist recently, Gene Landrum, and he was saying that in all the studies that he did with all of these famous people who were very rich and very noteworthy and, you know, had gobs of wealth, they didn't focus on money. They were passionate about something, and money followed them. Money was attracted to them. And the study you're referring to, it's on page 35 of the Attractor Factor. It was a study done of 1,500 people, and this is worth mentioning. It'll take me 2 seconds
to read
it.
I love this.
It's 1,500 people in this study, so this is very noteworthy. They were divided into two groups. Group A said they would pursue money first and do what they really wanted to do later. 1,245 people went into that group.
That's out of 1,500 people.
Out of 1,500 people, almost all of them said, we're going to go after money first, then down the road, after we got money, we'll go do what we really want to do.
Mm-hmm.
In category B, only 255 people in there, they said, we're going to do whatever we want to do first. We're going to seek our own interests first, and we'll trust that money will follow down the road. What happened? 20 years later, there were 101 millionaires from the entire group of 1,500. There were 101 millionaires from the entire group. Only one came from the first group. That group of 1,245 who said that they were going to pursue money first, out of that huge group, only one became a millionaire. Out of that tiny group of 255 people who said they would pursue their interests first and trust that money would follow, 100 of them became millionaires.
Now, if that isn't a takeaway, I don't know what is.
It is an incredible statistic. I mean, what an amazing fact.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, Joe, we're gearing up towards the end of this call, and I do want to give people an opportunity to ask you a few questions, if that's
sure.
still okay.
That would be fine.
Real quickly, can you tell us how we can get your book? And also, you have all of these amazing bonuses.
Yeah, I've kept the bonuses going because they're really so loved by everything. And what a deal. Buy at least one copy of The Attractor Factor, and you get thousands of dollars worth of bonuses,
mm-hmm.
most of which are very rare and very exciting. It's all explained at one website. It's at MrFire.com/factor, F-A-C-T-O-R. So it's www.MrFire, MrFire.com/factor, F-A-C-T-O-R. And it's all explained there. If you buy one book from Amazon, you can get so many bonuses. If you buy three or more books, do it at Barnes & Noble. You get it at a discount, and you can get all these other bonuses. There are some great bonuses, including an interview I did with Joe Sugarman, who is a famous direct marketer, the man behind Blue Blocker sunglasses.
Yeah.
I spent a week with him in Maui, Hawaii. We stayed in his mansion, $11 million mansion on the beach in Maui. Talk about paradise.
Mm-hmm.
The only work I did that week is I got him in a studio for 1 hour. I interviewed him, and the interview is called How to Build Your Own Empire with a $50 Product.
Ooh, nice.
That's one of many bonuses when you go get the Attractor Factor today at MrFire.com/factor.
Okay, great. Well, and before I unmute us, for those of you who are not registered for next week's call on May 24th, it will be at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time with author and prosperity guru Paula Languth-Ryan.
Oh, I want to hear that one, too.
Yeah, you got to join us. And Paula's on the call, actually, tonight.
Oh, great.
So for those of you who are not registered yet, please go to www.powerofmyway.com. And I'm going to go ahead and unmute it and see if we have some questions for you. Okay, can everybody hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to have to, with all of these people on the call, we're going to have to try to play nice with trying to get a question in. Does anybody have a question for Joe?
Joe, I have a question, and this is Peter, Peter D'Souza. My question is, you know, we have a lot of power, but we also have a lot of negatives that vibes that we have inculcated all through our lives. And I believe that we need to, like, you know, rid ourselves of these. But if you don't focus on them, you're never going to be aware how to get rid of it. So I'm like a little confused. You are been talking about focusing on the positives, but what about focusing on the negatives that we need to get rid of?
Thanks for asking the question. First of all, there's a couple beliefs in what you just said. One of them, the belief that we have all of these beliefs in us that have to be addressed.
Mm.
That's not necessarily true.
Interesting.
So you might want to look at some of the beliefs that are framed within your question. And then the second part of it is when you start to go for anything, whether it's the new car, more clients, more money, whatever it is for you, when you start to go for it, anything that's in the way of it happening, that's in the current, that's a negative belief, will pop up. And when it pops up, you address it. That's the getting clear stage.
Okay.
So acknowledge it, almost name it, acknowledge it. And then question it.
Yeah, I would say, is this real? Do I really believe this? And if I do believe this, why do I believe this? Mm-hmm. And get to the point where you can say, okay, is this serving me? And if it isn't, you can let it go. You might even replace it with something.
Okay.
Well,
you don't have to go fishing for the beliefs.
Right.
You have some great activities in there around even getting rid of them, too.
Yeah, that's a great question, Peter. Thank you for asking it.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for answering it.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I have a question. I'm Kathy in Toronto.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, good, thank you.
Well, I have a really long list.
Of?
I'd like to visualize and get in my life.
Oh, okay.
So where the heck do you start? Because it's career, it's family, it's cottage, it's this, it's that. I mean, just the whole thing. I've got kids now, and you know, my life's changed, so I'm kind of like starting, and there's a whole new bunch of stuff that I'll be doing.
Well, you're in this wonderful place where you get to play with all of that.
Yeah.
Visualize like one a day.
Well, you can, and you can do everything from what would your life be like if you're living it right now, and all of those things on your list are already in your life. What would that life look like and feel like and live and breathe? That one experience alone could bring a whole lot of it into play, but there's nothing wrong with you taking one a day, and one's a car, and another one's a family, and another one's a house, and playing with that. I mean, what a great boy. I'm almost jealous. What a great way to start every day. Look at my list and go, oh, what would it be like if I already had this? And get into it, and you're smiling, and you're just orgasmically happy. People will be looking at you all day long wondering why you're smiling so much.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, start big. Possibility thinking.
Great.
Anybody else have a question?
I do.
Paula here with a question.
Oh, Paula.
Hi, Paula.
Hey, Jim. What particular steps can we take
to sort of prepare for those incredible changes that are going to occur, you know, as the attractive factor, as we start putting it into our action in our lives. Are there some practical steps we can take to get prepared for those changes?
Oh, good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the steps happen automatically in a natural way. As you start to imagine what it is that you want and you're doing it with feeling and so forth, your body and mind, your whole body-mind system starts to change. You know, we're all kind of these plastic, watery beings, and as soon as we start to take on the aspect of owning a Dodge Viper or a castle somewhere or more money or a best-selling book, these things start to change unconsciously within ourselves. We start to own it. It becomes a natural process. And I think our real job is to act on the intuition and the opportunities that appear. So when we get that hunch to make a phone call or to turn left when we normally turn right or to get a particular book or to go to see a movie, I don't know what it is, but our job is to act on it. Because that's coming from our deeper connection to the world at large. It's no longer coming from our ego trying to orchestrate it. And for me, it's all a natural process that's an outcoming of knowing what you want and already experiencing it by nebulizing it, so to speak, in real time now.
Now, Joe, the business coach in me screams, well, there are some things you can do to prepare for all of this incredible new, the new experiences, the growing business. And the business coach in me says, well, start developing your systems and processes to be able to handle all of that business. What do you think about that?
And I would say it depends on the person.
Mm-hmm.
Because for you or somebody that you're talking to, that may be appropriate. But it may also be true that you don't have to develop any new systems at all. You may not have to prepare in any way, shape, or form at all. And in fact, by focusing on what you want and nebulizing what it would already feel like, so you already have the experience now, you may create something completely new that has nothing to do with what you think are the needed systems right now.
Okay, good.
I would say you have to be open to the possibility. Let me give you a quick example. 5 or 6 years ago when I saw a BMW Z3, which is a luxury sports car, and I fell in love with it, I decided I was going to manifest one for myself, and I was going to do it without pulling from existing funds. I was going to manifest the money for it, or the car was going to be given to me, or it was going to win. I was going to win it, something like that. Now, traditionally, when you want to do something like that, you think of all the obvious stuff, and I did too. I thought about holding a seminar in Austin, Texas, doing it on spiritual thinking and so forth, charging a lot of money, and decided, no, this didn't feel right for me. I want to do this car business. I want to manifest the car, but I want it to come in some kind of unique new way. As a result of being open to that, I created the high-end E-class.
Mm-hmm.
As far as I know, nobody had taught E-classes before. Now, E-classes are out there now, but I taught an E-class, which was a 5-week-long class, only took place online. All people got was an email lesson from me once a week. If they did their homework that was in the lesson, they returned it by email, and I charged them $1,500 per person to attend this class. No teleseminars, no meetings with me, nothing snail mail to them. This was a preposterous idea at the time. I invented it out of my desire for the car.
And yet still provided value to those people who...
Oh, I had to go on and teach several other classes after that because the demand was so great.
Yeah.
And, of course, I bought the car and I still have it. And now it's a collectible because they don't make the Z3 anymore. And this all came because I was open to a new way of manifesting the car. I had never thought of an E-class before and may never have thought of an E-class if I hadn't put out there that I wanted to create something that I had never created before.
So it goes back to don't spend too much time in the how, right?
Yep, that's one of them.
Yeah. So how about one more question before we wrap up?
I have a question.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll
Deborah in Annapolis, Maryland.
Hi, Deborah.
Hey, and here's my question. I actually have been doing the attractor factor, if you will, my entire life.
Mm.
And I'm actually reasonably successful with what I can handle.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, in fact, what I wrote down is what I really want is to attract the people that can support me so that I can continue to grow, because I'm doing so much of it myself, and I consider myself a visionary, the person who sits in the ivory castle and dreams these things up, but needs the people around her to kind of help implement these things. And that's the thing that's missing, because I have a million ideas. So how would you point me in the right direction to get started on this?
Well, I think you're already going in the right direction, but I hear some frustration in your voice. And that frustration, as you've heard on the call, will go out and create more frustration.
Mm.
So where you would like to be, I think, is in this place of imagining what it would be like for your ideal world to already be in place. So if you have the support that you would like to have, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What is your day like? What is your life like? And I don't expect you to answer right now, but this is something for you to nebulize later. What would your life be like if you wake up and you have the support that you want? What would it free you to do? What would you do? What would that feel like for you throughout that day? That's the feeling you want to go into, because that's the feeling that will go out and find the solutions and draw to you the people that will bring you more of what you say you want. But if you're in the frustration stage, which I think I'm hearing, I might be wrong. But
no, you're right.
Yeah, if there's some frustration there, that's going to be the old, you know, law, the psychological law. You get more of what you focus on.
Well, even, okay. And even going back to belief, like one of my limiting beliefs is that I can't trust people to follow through on what they say they're going to follow through on. So it limits me from seeking out some of the support that I could use to really attract some of what I'm working on attracting.
Yeah, that's a good insight, is to recognize that and then look at it and let it go.
Right.
So you can have a belief that does serve you, because certainly there are people out there that can do wonderful stuff for you and get it done when you want and even surprise you with how well they do it.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, there's 6 million.
Now, I agree. That is a limiting belief that I have. I have this attitude that, you know, I know how to do it already. It takes them a year to get up to speed on this. It's easier if I do it myself, et cetera. It took me a year to turn over this stuff to one of my coworkers, and they do a better job than I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that funny? It's usually the case.
Yes.
Well, and speaking of which, I have to give kudos and thanks to Terry Remine, my virtual assistant out there in sunny California, who really helped get, without her, we would not all be sitting here tonight. So thank you, Terry, and that really took me letting go of this belief that I could do everything myself. So. Well, Joe, it has been an absolute pleasure, and I could eat up speaking to you and asking you tons more questions for the next hour or two, but in the interest of respecting everybody's time, I just want to, again, thank you very much for joining us. To learn more about Dr. Joe Vitale and the Attractor Factor, please visit www.attractorfactor.com and www.mrfire.com. I will be sending out the link for this recording, and Joe, I'll certainly send that out to you as well.
Oh, thank you.
So that people can go back and listen and delve in. I would highly recommend you go out and get this book. It has really catapulted me, and in fact, one of the things that I wrote down in what I wanted to attract was an interview with Joe Vitale.
Well, you did that quick and easy.
Yeah, so thank you for that. On that note, please check out www.powerofmyway.com and www.dare-dreamers.com for more information about upcoming teleseminars, and hopefully you'll join us.